Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, they call me the Gnarly Gnome, not because I'm actually a gnome, and not because I'm really all that gnarly. I come to think of it, I don't know why they call me that. It's a long story. It's a very long story. Maybe I'll tell it again sometime. But welcome to the show that is not a show. This is a happy hour. This is exactly the reason that we all like to drink. It's because you can get together with people and just talk about whatever comes up. You can talk about life. You can talk about the industry. You can talk about sports. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about, and it all just kind of works because everybody's having a drink together. That's what this show is. It's a happy hour. It's kind of like we're all sitting around a table together at a bar somewhere, except we're sitting at home. In my case, I'm sitting in my basement without you actually here. I can't even see you. You can see me. It's all very strange. I'm also trying to get everything tweaked and adjusted and who knows. Chaos. I live in chaos, and we're going to talk about some of the chaos that I live in. And it's not good chaos. Like, sometimes I make jokes about the chaos, and sometimes it's bad. Sometimes there's just bad chaos. We are streaming to more places tonight. I decided, why not? I turned on streaming to LinkedIn, which is I don't understand why I would be showing streaming this show to LinkedIn. It's on like my personal LinkedIn page, and it's like people like talking about work and stuff, and then here I am talking about drinking. It's very strange. And then something called Rumble. I have never streamed to Rumble before, but we're streaming to Rumble. So hey, Rumble, if you're on Rumble, then say hi, because I don't actually know what it is. that's how terrible I am at all this. That's how old I am at this point. But because it's a happy hour, because it's an excuse for us to drink together, a big part of that means that you have to tell me what it is you're drinking. Let me make sure before we get too far into this that we are streaming to all of the places that I'm supposed to be streaming to. I guess I should have done that while the countdown was playing. That's why the countdown exists, is so that I can do that. It's fine. Again, it's not a show. If it was a show, that would be a problem. We are not streaming everywhere we should. Let's fix that. Let's check this over here. Oh, and let's mute that because you don't want to hear the stream streaming. I think that I can click this. Nope. Let's maybe go here. This is terrible. This is terrible showmanship. I promise one of these days I will figure out how to do this whole podcasting thing. I promise. Okay, if I click that and I click this. Ah, here we go. Now I should be able to click this. This is all so that we can cross-post to different places. Yeah, see, it was checked before. Now it's not checked. Oh, man. I promise. One of these days, we will have a show without any technical hiccups, without any glitches, without any added chaos. One of these days. What we need to do, though, to kick things off properly, we need to have a drink. That should work now. There we go. Okay, now we're with it. And now if I can find that screen again. There it is. Hi, guys. this episode, this horribly produced episode, is brought to you by Brewash. Hopefully you guys follow me on social media. If you don't, please follow me, because I do love social media still, despite how much we are all kind of over social media lately for very good reasons. I still love social media. It's a great way to connect with each other, and I like to share content that I make on social media. And today, I posted a video that I've been planning for months at this point, and finally got a chance to share it with you guys. And it's about me not running at Brewash. But the show is sponsored by the folks with Brewash and Higher Gravity Summit Park. If you have never been there, one of my favorite beer stores. I'm not just saying that because of the sponsorship deal that's going on right now. I really do love them. So if you've never been, go there. For the love of God, go there. Let's see what people are drinking here. All right. Before I open something up. Julia says she's having a truth and getting to go food. I don't know if that's a joke or if she really is. there's stories there. If you've been a longtime listener of this show, you'll know. Josh just opened a Bodhi, great beer. Now Julia says she is having a Rar Brewing Maryland Hazy IPA. Let's see. Ben says somehow he is still drinking Oktoberfest Polliner right now. I've had so much Oktoberfest. Jeremy is also having an Oktoberfest, a Grainworks Oktoberfest, which if you listened to last week's episode or watched last week's episode, a huge, huge upset. Grainworks beating out Westside in round one. Round one, we'll talk about that. That's getting ahead of things on the topics. Let's see. Eric said we visited daughter on Saturday in Indy and brought back some Gugman House fruited sours and a Hefeweizen. Got a guava blood orange sour going. That sounds great. I've never been there. And people tell me that I'm missing out by having never been there. Why am I reaching over here if I've got a mouse in front of me? Oh, my goodness. Ryan is drinking South of 11 double IPA from Hoofhearted. Hoofhearted. Chris is drinking a Brow Baron tonight. That is from Third Eye and is a great amber German wheat beer. The only amber German wheat beer that I think I've ever had in my life. And I loved it. I've only got one left. And it's just taunting me in there. And I don't want to drink it because I only have one left. They are so good. That's a beer that needs to be around like all the time. Needs to be a regular drinking beer, one that you can sit and just kind of, you can drink several of and not feel guilty about drinking several of. Beer is meant to drink, and that's one of those beers that, well, there's a lot of beers that when they're special packaging or a special format or something, or maybe a little expensive, you tend to like let them sit in a fridge or on a shelf or something longer than you really want to. Because you're just waiting for some kind of perfect moment to drink them. Ryan says, I have two left. All right, I'm going to Ryan's house, and I'm taking two, and then I will have three. And then I can drink some of them. That sounds like a good plan. I do have beer, but I have to start with something else first. I'm actually not really looking forward to this one for our schnappening. Eric says, Brow Baron sounds amazing. It is amazing. Julia says it's why we need small cans. Yes, to some extent. Like sometimes you want a large quantity of these beers you want to consume. Ryan says as of 5 days ago, they still had some at Third Eye. Yeah, I might need to go back and get some more. This was gifted to me. I stopped and was hanging out with somebody, and they made the joke that I think some of the things that I've been trying on this show are terrible, I need to try this. Now that I think about it, I think that means it's going to be terrible. This is something I know nothing about. This is a Yukon Jack Snakebite. This is a 100 proof something. Yukon Jack Snakebite. Where's it going to be in focus? I guess we can't get too close. I needed to adjust the camera. That's fine. Yukon Jack Snakebite. This is some kind of booze. It doesn't really tell me anything about it. I guess we could do a quick Google and see what it says it is. Or we could ask ChatGPT to tell me. Let's do that. Let's ask Dayivid. What is Yukon Jack Snakebite? Tell me everything. All right, well, he thinks. We're going to go ahead and pour this. Okay. It says it's a. He says, claims, and by he, I mean AI, claims it is a popular bar shot. Popular according to who is what I want to know. Right. It is made with two main ingredients. Yukon Jack. I've had Yukon Jack just by itself before. It is a Canadian honey flavored whiskey. I don't remember honey at all. It just tastes like booze. 100 proof. That's sweet, strong, and has a slightly syrupy texture. Yeah, that's what I remember. Sweet, strong, syrupy. Ryan says it was nice knowing you. Yeah. It's usually mixed and then lime cordial or lime juice. That adds a bright, tart citrus kick. See, it doesn't sound terrible. It's usually mixed in equal parts, Yukon Jack and lime cordial, shaken with ice, just built in a shot glass. That doesn't sound bad at all. So it's like a snake bite, just with Yukon Jack. I guess that makes sense. Now I'm wondering if he even knows what he's talking about. He may just be talking about a shot that is a snake bite made with Yukon Jack. This might not be that at all. Oh, that might be what they're trying to do here. Oh God, there's like it's like paint thinner. Oh Lord. It doesn't look bad. I mean, it looks like just booze. It looks like some kind of really light whiskey, but no, it smells like paint thinner. Oh, that's bad. Maybe it shouldn't be in a glass that's focusing all that aroma right into my face. Let me get a good nose on this paint thinner. Oh, why? Why do I start the show out with something that's terrible? Ooh. Considering some of the topics we have to talk about tonight, maybe I need to do this. Okay. Oh, it's all right. When I started making content, I did it because I loved craft beer. I loved the craft beer industry. I loved the people and the stories. I did not do it for crap like this. Oh God, here we go. All right. Bottoms up. Oh, I hope you guys appreciate this. Oh God. Oh, that's horrible. Oh yeah. Oh my God. Oh, why? What in the world? What in the world? That's not a real thing. Somebody put paint thinner in a bottle just to play a joke on me. That's like that is that that is terrible. Holy crap. Oh. Okay. I think I've met my match. I don't want that. I don't want that. Not only do I not want that in my body, I don't even want that in my house. Like I don't want that around. Like if it like oh man. Oh, I gotta try it again just to make sure that that was. Maybe it gets better. Doesn't smell better. Oh, God. Oh, no. No. Oh, I don't know who Yukon Jack is, but he is not related to the kind-hearted Yukon Cornelius from Rudolph. He is a foul man, a horrible human. No. I thought Canadians were polite. This is the rudest, most offensive thing ever. There is nothing redeeming about it. Not only does it taste bad, it smells horrible. And it leaves like this horrible coating of sugar on your lips and your teeth and your tongue. there is no reason that any human being should ever consume this. There's no way that anybody likes this. This is a shot for people who want to punish somebody. This is like when you're mad at somebody. No, when you're not even mad, when you really like hate somebody, this is what shot you do with them. You make them do. You don't do this. Oh boy. All right, I'm gonna move this side. We'll revisit that at some point during the show when we need some pain here. We'll put it right here so you know it's still there. Oh God, I need a beer. Okay, that is a winner. That's a bad beer or a bad drink. Not a bad beer, bad drink. This one, these are in cans. I didn't know I could get these at my local beer store, but I can. This is Fabled Brew Works. If anybody does not know Fabled, it is a little brewery down in Kentucky. Some really great stuff. I drank some this weekend. I drank some, just this weekend. And now I'm going to drink it now. This is the Last Call of Cthulhu. This is an Italian Pilsner. 4.7% ABV by Fabled Brew Works. He's tired, he's drunk, and still thirsty. Here, I'll let you see the artwork on that. He's hanging out there. And then on the back, Julia says it's Fabled New. It says, "The terror. From the fantastic depths of the world emerges the undulating eldritch horror, the great old one, destroyer of worlds, a grotesque abomination that strikes fear into the hearts of all. He's become rather thirsty, and he's crushing pilsners right up until closing time. He's a difficult guy to ask to leave." That might be about me. All right, let's crack this thing open. Gotta wash that horrible, horrible taste out of my mouth. That was not something that I wish on anybody. Oh, it's like I can still smell it. All right. If you're just joining the show, you missed the pain. Good for you. All right. Ooh, okay. This definitely has a good, bright, fruity, floral aroma. Oh, that smells a lot better than that snake bite. What? Oh God! Oh, I don't even want to look at it anymore. There we go. Oh, yeah, that's a lot better. Yeah, super, super crushable. Way fruity, not as floral as I was thinking it was going to be from that aroma. Just a big kind of fruity, hoppy, delicious Pilsner. That's a lot better. That's what I should have been drinking from the beginning. Why am I even bothering with something? When I first started doing a small boozy pour at the beginning of the show, it was not supposed to be something that was gross. I was pouring it because I wanted to drink something tasty. It was at Christmas time, and I wanted to drink schnapps because I like schnapps. Man, okay. Here, take a peek at that. That's a better looking drink than a horrible shot. Oh Lord. Okay. My brain is completely fried now. Okay. Let's dive into topic number one. You can always call into the show if you aren't aware of that 567-70 drink. I do also, I've been toying around with a way for guests to call in and be able to jump on video, and I can pipe you straight in on video. I think I finally got that figured out as a way to do it. We're not going to test it tonight, but it is coming. It's coming, so stay tuned. Chris says, "Fabled is killer, but not an Italian Pilsner. Italy's not known for beer, really. Anything you drink after UConn is going to taste great. Yes, like if I'm choosing my favorite Pilsner, it's not going to be an Italian Pilsner. I enjoy them when they're fine, but it's I want a good, crisp, slightly bitter German Pilsner or a Czech Pilsner. I think I lean towards Czech Pilsners, personally. I think. Ask me on one day, and I'll say Czech. Ask me a different day, I'll say German. But, yeah, that's where I lean. There's even been a couple of these kind of new American Pilsners that are a little more American hops versus some noble hops. And I kind of like some of those. But I want a little kind of bitter snap and some earthiness to it also, personally. All right, story number one. This is where we start to get into some of the not so good stuff. Verge, they finally posted, and I say finally because I don't know that this is shocking news for a lot of people, but they have let us know that they are. Making the call officially that they will no longer be opening their tap room on the west side. And I know that that is a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people. Sad news. Ryan says Branch and Bone has an Italian Pilsner that might change some minds. Is that Gorlami? Is that right? It's a good beer. Verge has been... Good God, how long have they been working on things? I first sat down with the folks at Verge, not to do a podcast or, it was kind of to write an article that I don't know that I ever really wrote. It was kind of start laying down the foundation for an article about Verge. And it was 2019, if my notes are correct. That's how long ago I've been talking to these folks about their brewery project. They did some crowdfunding that provided ownership for people. They did several other rounds of different crowdfunding efforts, a lot of merch going out there, a lot of fun tastings. Put it in their words. Let's see how they worded this, which I should have a button somewhere that... And I don't know if you can read that. I can't read the it on way, that well, screen from here. But put it in their words. Let's see how they worded this. Which says should means have there's still plenty of room on the west side that, for a brewery. I've heard some rumors about some other things. I don't know if you can read that. Their statement says, "Wait, well, screen from here, it is put with heavy words hearts here. That we announce the decision to suspend our efforts to bring Verge Brewing to Delhi. Our dream was to create a welcoming, community-focused space and third place for neighbors." Their statement says, "Wait, well, it is with heavy hearts that we announce recent challenges have made it possible to Verge Brewing to Delhi. Our dream was to create a welcoming, community-focused space and third place for their statement says, "Wait, well, it is put in their heavy hearts that we announce recent challenges have made it possible to Verge forever great road. Our dream is to create a welcoming, community-focused space and third place for neighbors. Their statement says, "Wait, well, it is put in their heavy hearts that we announce recent challenges have made it possible to Verge forever great road. Our dream is to create a welcoming, community-focused space and third place for neighbors. Their statement says, "Wait, well, it is put in their heavy hearts that we announce recent challenges have made it possible to Verge forever great road. Our dream is to create a welcoming, community-focused space." How's that? Is that better? I'll wait a second so you can tell me if it's fixed. That should be fixed. I actually don't know why that is like that, but I'll sit here and I will drink and... Okay, yes. Chris says, do it again. Are you going to read the thing again? Basically, they are saying they're citing recent challenges. I don't know what that means. I don't know the exact reasons why. They are. Julia says, I refreshed and now all sounds good. Yeah, it was. That's my fault. I don't know why. Again, it's not a show, so it's okay. For some reason, I mean, I kind of know why. So do you guys care about the nerdy technical stuff of what's going on behind the scenes here? So I have a stream pulled up on this computer, the computer over here. Sorry. You guys can see what I'm looking at now. I have the stream pulled up over here so that I can see the chat in Facebook over there, because I can't figure out a way to get that chat to go into this chat. it's the stupidest thing ever. So because I'm streaming out to my Facebook and my YouTube and Rumble, whatever that is, all of that stuff, I'm streaming out to all of those, and that's fine, and it can send all of those chats back to this one spot, which is now what, well, I mean, I'll pull it back up so you guys can see what I'm looking at. This is what I'm looking at on this computer over here. I might be able to show you what I'm looking at. This is going to get really trippy for a second. If we go display, this is what I'm looking at over here. So I have the chat over here. This is what I see to see what you guys are all looking at. And I can't get that Facebook chat to send over here, essentially, if any of that makes sense. Ben says, and he killed it again. Did that really mess it up? Oh, no. Sorry, guys. All right, I won't do that anymore. Or if I, maybe if I do the, or this. No, because. Julia says, every time he tries to share his stream of the stream, it kills things. On my end, everything looks like it's working just fine. That's what's hard. And I can't hear what you guys are hearing. So if it's audio. Chris says it's fine. I don't know. We have more things to share. So if when I pull things up, it's going to kill the stream. It's going to cause a problem. Zach says things seems fine here. Okay. So moral of the story. Sorry, I have to get things out of my way now. I don't know the exact reasons why Verge is closing. I know that the market is probably very different than when they first started planning in 2019. And that has to play some kind of role in their deciding to not move forward with plans. But I assume there's been lots of different challenges that they've had to battle. And whatever this last one is, it was enough for them to decide that it was too much to keep fighting. So my best goes out to them. I know the people behind Verge were all very good people that really cared about craft beer. And I imagine we'll still be seeing them around town plenty of different things. So for anybody that in Delhi that was excited about them to be there, I definitely feel your pain. I understand that. And it sucks. Let's talk about one of my failures. Speaking of things that are not happening. All right, let's talk about Cincy Beer Week. I make lots of jokes about chaos and the busyness of my life. And I know a lot of you guys understand that, you especially those of you who have kids that are in activities and things. You understand how difficult it is to do anything when you've got family obligations. I normally can find ways to make stuff happen, even considering that. And don't get me wrong, there's still plenty of stuff that is happening. But Beer Week for me, all of this requires lots of explanations. Beer Week for me is not happening this year. That doesn't mean that the spirit of Beer Week and what Beer Week is not happening for me, because it is. I think I've got events going on every single day that week. But last year was fine. But I did not get as much of a helpful push from some of the places that I needed the push from. And that's fine. I get it. There is going to be a uphill battle for a few years before that starts to happen. The push this year was very similar, though, where there was just not enough from some of the places that I was reaching out to make it happen. And I know a lot of you guys have reached out to help, and I appreciate all of that. But I needed more of a push from some of the bigger players in town, and I needed it sooner. And part of that is on me for not having all of the ducks in the row properly far enough ahead of time to have them be helpful where they needed to be helpful, when they needed to be helpful, if that makes sense. So I take the blame, but if I'm going to make this happen in future years, we've got to figure something out. And I'm hopeful that we will. I think we'll figure it out, but it's not going to be this year. That being said, still put the dates in your calendar. Go out and drink beer that week. To me, that is the entire spirit of what this whole thing is just going out and supporting your local breweries, the places that offer great beer and the spirit of craft beer. Go and support them during that week, and we'll regroup, and I will figure this thing out. I will get it. I'll get it mapped out better, and I'll make it happen. But it's not going to be this year. It's definitely not going to be this year. I not just like family stuff, but like the amount of work stuff that is falling onto me right now is enough to make you want to put your head through a wall. that's how stressful things are right now. And then when you couple that with all of the other stuff that's going on, it's just a lot, and it's too much. So Beer Week is not dead, but it's regrouping, I guess, for a year. So we'll see how that goes and how that develops. There are things that are still happening. Oktoberfest Quest, a new logo. What do you over here? Do you like that? I've been trying to figure that out, and I think I like this. Maybe not. I'm thinking about it. And we're almost done with round one, which sounds incredibly stressful. It feels incredibly stressful to me if you think it sounds stressful. But once round one is done, things happen very quickly. We are right on schedule for the finals, which are happening on, why didn't I write the date down? I think it's 10-7, I believe. 10-7. Is that right? Now I got to look. Yes. 10-7 at 7 p.m. That is the Oktoberfest Quest finale. That's at Mad Tree in Oakley. actually, if you need help remembering that, oh, here's what I know. I wrote it down somewhere. If you need to write it down, here you go. you can remember October 7th at 7 p.m. Here, see if I can hold it. This hand is on this side like this. This hand is right here. There we go. 10-7 at 7 p.m. at Mad Tree Oakley. We're going to probably be sitting outside if the weather's nice. We're going to be sitting amongst the trees because there's going to be trees because the next day they're doing that night in the trees thing that they do, which is a ton of fun if you've never been there. We'll be crowning a winner. There's been a couple upsets, as I mentioned earlier, one of them. There's been a couple upsets. But there are some beers that are just catching me off guard at how much they taste better than what I remember them tasting. And that, to me, is so exciting. I love it. So I'm excited to see who pulls this out this year. There are, as of right now, I believe, there's one that I'm not sure if they're actually going to package it or not. They said they're not sure if they're going to package it or not, so I don't know what the heck is going on there. If they do, that puts us at 34 Oktoberfest beers in this year's competition. That math does not work out. Now, I can figure out ways to make it work out, but I think what I'm going to do, I've already tried one of them and determined that it is just as great as it was before. I think I'm going to knock two of them out. They are not going to make the bracket. I think that we are taking what I'm calling the top 32, the 32 best packaged beers. Now, that's not to say I'm not trying all of them. I will try and we'll have all of the beers. But if you don't make the top 32, you're not part of the actual bracket. I think that's the way I'm going to do it. I could change my mind and figure out a bunch of beers to fill out the gaps to make the math work out. But nope, I think that's what we're going to do. Because there are a couple that just don't stand up to the other ones. Zach wants to know if I got a special invite to meet Jim from Sam Adams this Friday at Cincinnati Oktoberfest. I did. Yes, I will be hanging out with Jim Cook this Friday. This Friday is going to be a very busy day. I guess we can go ahead and jump right into that too. This Friday is going to be a very busy day for me. Oktoberfest Cincinnati weekend, I guess, is always busy, but we've got. I have something going on in the morning that I'm still waiting to hear final details on, so I don't want to talk about that yet. I'm recording a podcast in the afternoon, an episode of Drinking with a Gnome that I think you guys are going to like. It's kind of fun. It's something a little different that I've done. In the afternoon, later afternoon, I'll be hanging out with Jim Cook for a little bit. I think I'm going to record a little bit to make some content. I'm happy to hear that a lot of you guys are going to be there. That's exciting. And then Friday night, I encourage all of you, especially if you're already hanging out at Oktoberfest, hang out over to head on over to Northern Kentucky and hang out with me. I am doing this this event called The Setup, the Oktoberfest edition. This is at the Commonwealth Comedy Club. Tickets are super cheap. They're less than $15. And you go and you hang out, and there's going to be three different people telling drinking stories. And then there are improv comedians that are going to be acting out our stories. So I don't know if we're telling one story or multiple stories. If we're telling multiple, I've got a couple in the can ready to go. But I think I'm going to start out with how I once saved Marco's life and how he got his nickname, Dangles. Just show up and you don't know what I'm going to talk about. Hannah Kent from Urban Artifact will be there telling some stories. And then Wayne Mimmett from Bombs Away Comedy, is that right? He'll be there telling some stories. I'm sure you guys have seen him around town over the years. Really good dude. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a really funny time and something unique that I've never really done before. So, and it's right there, right across the river. You can hang out at Oktoberfest. Go over there. Doors open there at like 6:30. I think show starts at 7:30. Yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun. go drink some beer and hang out and hear how I'm a hero. One of the greatest heroes of our generation. We got to keep moving on with some other news. This one is another maybe kind of, I'm going to call it a nerve-inducing story. It's not bad. It's not necessarily bad news. Northwood Cider is for sale. I have confirmed that it is for sale. I started getting some rumors about this a little while ago. And it is officially listed now online. Let me pull up the... Okay, now in theory, this is not going to mess anything up, but as we've seen... Is that messing things up for you guys? Maybe I can actually remove... All right, see if that helps at all. Here it is. It's a listing as clearly Northwood Cider. And they even go, whoops, that's not helping. Hang on. This is why. Sounds fine. It just doesn't look fine. Hang on. There we go. Hopefully that works. Here's the listing. They post some nice pictures of the inside. Here's what you need to know about this when you look at it. They make it very clear at the bottom. Don't miss a rare chance to step into the craft beverage space with an established infrastructure and a strong brand presence. This is not like they are shutting things down. They are not closing Northwood. Northwood is not done. It's just for sale. They reached out to me when they... They heard that I was going to be talking about them and talking about this story tonight. So they reached out and kind of shared a little bit about why this was happening. Sorry, I'm trying to click on four different things. When they opened their doors, what was it, 2022 maybe? Is that right? Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, if you know. I think it was like 2022. All of the ownership's families looked a little different than what they do now. And, they are now in this place where the business is growing, the business is doing good, but they need, owners or an owner that is able to be full-time there. They've all had day jobs, and then they go home and they have these young families, and they need an owner that is able to be a little bit more hands-on and full-time in this business than what they're able to and what they believe in their words, owe their families. I can't fault anybody for that. I understand that very deeply. That is a huge reason that that my life and my work structure looks and feels and is the way that it is. Family is the most important thing in the world. The people that are closest to you, your small bubble, your tribe. Now, that doesn't mean that your work is not also important, or your friends aren't important, or other things aren't important, because they are. But your family is the most important thing. And you cannot sacrifice that family structure for a piece of your work life, if that makes sense. So I definitely don't fault them for deciding that this business deserves something else or needs something else. I recognize that if anybody is a I recognize if somebody's a fan of Northwood, it's a little scary when somebody's for sale. But I anticipate that they'll find somebody. Steve says, why aren't they hiring a manager then? I get the ability to commit changes, but there are other levers to pull. There could be. I'm not privy to the inner workings of the business and how that all breaks down for them. But they are recognizing a change that needs to happen, and they are finding a way to attempt to make it happen. But they're being very clear that in the meantime, it is not closing. It's going to keep rolling the way it is. They're just trying to bring somebody on that can take it into the next place that it needs to go. I believe that they need to find somebody that can push harder into growing the distribution side of what they do. I think that is not that they haven't already started poking into that, but it needs to be poked into a lot more, and they need somebody that's able to be present for that. Nobody wants to, I don't know how to word this and not start pointing out examples of other places. Nobody wants to be at a place where ownership isn't able to give it what they need to give it. And we've seen other examples plenty of times where it goes too far and the business starts to suffer because you don't have that hands-on ownership there. We don't want that. They don't want that, and I don't fault them for that. We're in like a very strange time in a lot of different drinking industries, and there are ways to keep growing your business, and there are ways to quickly tank what you're doing too, and let it crash and burn in a extravagant fashion. it takes takes a lot of love and effort to make sure it doesn't crash and burn. So that's the news. That is all the news that I've got for you. Some good stuff, some not so good stuff. I'm feeling very, very, I'm feeling very overwhelmed by a lot of things going on, both personally, professionally, all of that. Taking one thing off of my plate with Beer Week is going to help a little bit. Again, it's not that it's not coming back. It's not really gone, but it's definitely on hiatus. We're almost at an hour. But if you guys are up for it, I also have some label approvals, which, there are some really good ones that you probably want to see. We tried this last week and, it fought me. So we'll see how this works. I think we're good. Let's see. That looks good to me. I can actually see them now. Okay, so we're going to try to roll through these fairly quickly so that we don't get too hung up, but there are a couple that I want to spend some time on. This is All Father's Meadery. That is down in Camp Springs, Kentucky. I know I covered some of these last week, but now you can see the whole thing. I still have never been here. I've never been to All Father's. They have very limited hours, which makes it really hard for me to make it there. Again, because my life is consumed with chaos, However, I will be there at some point, and I will drink a bunch of mead, which that'll be great. The Uber bill that night will be very steep. I don't know what it costs off the top of my head to go from Fairfield to Camp Springs, Kentucky, and back, but it's expensive, necessary when you're drinking 12% mead. However, if there's labels, that means we're probably going to see them in packaging, probably a little wider than what we do already. So that's good. Chris says, love places that are open Friday to Sunday, 5 to 8 p.m. Yeah. This is Sif. That is, I'm assuming, got pumpkin in it. Yeah, okay. Pumpkin, sweet potatoes, buckwheat, pumpkin blossom, honey. Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, I can handle that. What else do we have? Oh, gosh. It's going to fight me here now, too. Okay, there we go. And Julia says, in the random Tuesday from 11:30 to 12:15. Oh, here, Eric's helping me out on this one here. This is Huggin. Huggin. This is wildflower honey. Okay, of course. Tart black currants and cider apples. Oh, yeah, that sounds great. See, it all sounds so good. Also, 12%. Whew, all right. And then I don't know what that is. The Queen of the Beowulf story. This one is elderflower. Okay, citrus. Oh, it does say on here, named for the Queen Weldwa of Beowulf. This radiant elixir honors a role as a cupbearer. Yada, yada, yada. Great. 12%. Okay. This is where we stopped last week because I got frustrated. Braxton, dry hopped pilsner. It's brewed with Mandarina Bavaria. Yeah, okay. So this is probably a dry hop that I can really get behind. So still kind of fruity and citrusy, but definitely German noble. That's not technically a noble hop, I guess, but it has some of those personality traits that I love from noble hops. So speaking of pilsners, I'm looking forward to getting some cans of this. That is right in my wheelhouse. There's some cool stuff from Braxton here. Kranz, this is their Kolsch style ale. I appreciate that they called it that instead of a Kolsch because that's what the Germans want. Their description says Kolsch is more than a beer. It's tradition. It's served in tall glasses from a round tray called a Kranz. Refilled before you even ask, as long as your coaster stays down. I love it. I love Kolsch night. I've talked about that many times on this show. In fact, tomorrow is Kolsch night. If you have never been, go to Northern Row, go to Kolsch night, experience why this whole thing is as much fun as it is. their beer is great. They have not mastered Kolsch night yet. I hope that sometime they figure out some way to really do it, but their beer is great, and it deserves a Kolsch night that is equal to the beer. I kind of love this artwork. I can't wait to see it in person. Julie says, will Braxton be doing a Kolsch service with this? So they do have Kolsch service. Theirs is a little different, though. And somewhere on the website, I have a post about all of the Kolsch services around town. There's at any given moment, as far as I know, you can go in there and order a tray of Kolsch. And I think you can get a tray or a half tray of just a bunch of Kolsch. And I think that's how they do it. It's not like that never ending kind of thing. I think I'd have to go back and double check that, but off the top of my head, that's the way theirs was. This is a new one. Flurry. Again, the artwork, love it. New Zealand style IPA. So New Zealand hops, citrus, white grape, tropical fruit. crisp body. Yeah, I like it. I like winter beers that are not traditional winter styles, so not just a big stout or something. Although, I do think back now to the rum barrel-aged snow shovel that they released. What was snow shovel? That was like a... it was not a stout. I don't remember the style, but man, it was good. But yeah, I'm excited for this beer. The artwork is great. It's gonna be fun. I can get behind that. Julia says, I don't want a tray of Kolsch sitting at my table getting warm, but I appreciate it. The trick is to have enough people that you're just getting these trays coming all the time, I think. Here's one of the big ones that we need to take a minute to talk about. So a couple weeks ago, this happened with Red Top also. If you guys haven't heard that news, Red Top is back. SynBev, Cincinnati Beverage Company, released a new Red Top beer. This is a light American lager that supports Miami University's athletics. In fact, I've got it. I've got it here. I was drinking a bunch of it this weekend. Uptown Light is the official name of it, and then it is from the Red Top Brewing Company. This is a very similar idea, but what tipped me off, well, not what tipped me off, what should have tipped me off about this beer was a couple weeks before the label rolled through the TTB, Red Top, the social media accounts, came alive, and that was very unusual. And I thought, oh, that's weird. That's interesting. I should make note of that. And I did. I made note in the back of my head. And then when the label came through, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Okay. Snow Shovel was a winter warmer. That was what better Christmas beer than a winter warmer? Yeah, that was a good beer. That rum barrel aged snow shovel. Oh, so good. So carry on to a couple weeks ago, I noticed that the Burger Beer social media accounts kind of came alive. And stupid me did not connect the dots and did not remember just a couple months ago when the same thing happened with Red Top. I should make a note of that. I did in the back of my head. And didn't even think to start digging a little bit. And then when this label rolled through, it was like somebody smacked me in the back of the head. I'm like, oh, of course. It's a new burger beer. It's also another light lager, I'm guessing. Let's see. 16-ouncer, 4.9%. This one is 4.2, so it's not as light. That's interesting. Why do they think that Miami kids want 4.2%, but Xavier kids, not kids, adults, 21 and up, of course, Xavier adults want 4.9%. I don't encourage drinking underage for anybody that may think that. That's interesting, the difference. I think that maybe Burger Beer thinks that Xavier adults are better beer drinkers. I'm just saying that's what they think. Start some kind of argument online about it. Now I want to drink this. I'm excited to get my hands on this. I love. Okay, here we go. Ben says that Braxton has Kolsch Night every Monday in September from 6 to 9 p.m. Haven't made it yet. 7-ounce pours and the hash mark coasters. Why is that not on my radar? Burger Beer holds a very special place in my heart. It's one of those brands that is a huge piece of Cincinnati, as is Red Top. So I'm just excited to see it back. I hope that we're going to see more appearances of both of those brands. I hope that Red Top does not just exist in Uptown Light, and I hope that Burger does not just exist in Musky Lager Beer. If they do, it's fine, but I hope that there's a little bit more to it. Some Cincinnati Distilling. This is their White Lightning. I don't know that I need White Lightning with a fancy label on it. White Lightning is supposed to be in a jar and look like it came out of your grandpa's barn. Just my personal opinion. This is not that exciting either. This is Carbliss. This is made by Impact, which is the former Taft's Brewing Company. They're now a contract brand, and they just crank out some stuff like this and energy drinks and all kinds of fun stuff. Now, these are tequila cocktails, raspberry, and then a watermelon margarita. They're both probably delicious, but this is interesting. Okay, this is another kind of fun story. Let me drink some of this so I can open another beer. This is a couple products that are coming out of Meijer's. For anybody that does not know Meijer's, they are a winery over in Silverton, one of the oldest wineries, if not the oldest winery in the state of Ohio. They've gone through a hell of a couple years. I don't have the timeline in front of me. I do have a bunch of research I've been doing about this that at some point I'm going to write a big post about, but they went bankrupt and they got bought, and before that they got sold, then they went bankrupt, then they got bought. That's kind of where we're at now, and they have not put out any products in the last few years. Their tasting room has been closed since before they went bankrupt and got bought. They have another contract business similar to a couple other ones around town where they make products for other people, and a lot of those are also distilled products. This is one of those distilled products, but it's like, on Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, when they were talking about how this chocolate factory has been dormant for years. Nobody goes in, nobody goes out. And then one day, the chocolate factory just came to life and started working again. That's what it feels like when you see something like this. It's like, oh my gosh, like something is going on at Meijer's. Like it's not just going to fall apart and, collapse upon itself and then just disappear. It's they're still working. They're still there. There's something happening with this new company. That's exciting for me, from the nerdy side of who I am. This is a bourbon. And then this is another bourbon. Now this is the company that owns them now. This North American Ethanol Holding, whatever. I'm assuming that this is something we're looking at. I'm not going to make assumptions. I don't know what this is, but I don't think we're going to see this on a shelf. all right, moving on. Rheingeist. Always good stuff coming out of Rheingeist. Truthadelic, an Imperial Hazy IPA, 9.5%. They are just rolling with the Truth brand family, sticking to it. They love and respect Truth, and are letting that brand kind of become its own thing, if it isn't already. This is the next one in line, Truthadelic. I think there's two of those. Yep, there's a. This is probably a big old 19.2 ounce, I believe. Without zooming in, I can't tell. Yep, 19.2, I'm guessing. And then your standard 12-ouncers. Moving on. Julia says, I better go 19.2. Is that? There you go. McCool, an Irish red ale, named after legendary hero Finn McCool. This Irish-style red ale sports aromas of roasted coffee and nutty caramel, underscored by notes of fresh baked brisket. Ooh, that sounds good. Except it's biscuit. Man, I got excited for a second. Fresh baked biscuit, heather sweet malts, and a satisfying sparkling deep ruby hue, sláinte. Man, now I kind of want a brisket. Ugh. Moving on. House cat. I don't know the story here. I don't know what this is. I don't know. This is an American Pilsner. 5.2%. It says citrus and floral aromas, subtle notes, subtle bready notes, and a crisp finish. All right. It sounds like a good beer. I don't know where this fits into their portfolio, but I'm definitely here for it. I drink Cincy Light from time to time, but it's not a beer that satisfies the Pilsner side of my drinking fandom. Maybe this will. Okay, there's a lot of ink coming this time of year. There's going to be a big ink festival, I'm assuming. And we're starting to see some of the things that'll probably be released around that time in bottles. This is barrel-aged Guatemalan cafe ink. So coffee stout, 12.1%. Aged for 1 to 2 years. I can get behind that. Night Whale, another Imperial Stout of theirs. This one is 14.3%. And then it is got some blackberry added. Julia says, Jungle Cat, House Cat, next will be Feral Cat, which will be a Schwartz beer if we're lucky. going back to the truth line, Chris says they should make a quad IPA called Dare. We've had lots of fun jokes about some of the other names you could give some imperial or non-alcoholic versions of truth. Here's some Mushushu. This is Mexican hot chocolate. That's got vanilla, cinnamon, peppers, chocolate. You get the idea. 13.7%. Again, 1 to 2 years aged. For anybody that doesn't know, Rheingeist has a killer barrel aging program that just only every once in a while sees the light of day. Blackcurrant Mushushu. Vanilla, blackcurrants, chocolate. Sounds good to me. Street Side, some interesting things. This is a collaboration. This is called Tree of Woe. It's a beer to guard with Mad Tree. It says it comes from Garrett's early days in the industry in celebration of Mad Tree's help with the early days of Street Side, where they kindly allowed Garrett to volunteer on the canning line and showed him the ropes on how a production brewery works. We wanted to bring them in to brew an interesting style rarely seen to celebrate our 10th anniversary. This is interesting. This is easy to kind of just pass over. I've heard rumors, rumblings, ideas that Street Side, to celebrate their 10th anniversary, might be doing a bunch of fun collaborations that kind of celebrate that whole thing. So I don't know if it's going to be monthly releases or what that's going to look like. But throughout the year, you're just going to see release after release after release, that somehow that collaboration tells the story of Street Side. I freaking love it. I love the stories of what make this industry special. I love it. I love this. Steve says, we wonder why the beer industry is struggling. Yeah. All right. Social Studies Pizza Party. This doesn't say that this has anything to do with the 10th anniversary. This is the 9th anniversary. It says, whoa, boy, we've got the Kings of Ohio IPAs coming to town for our 9th anniversary West Coast IPA. Jackie O's helped us knock together this recipe, so we hopped outrageously with all sorts of Eldorado, Citra, and the new hotness, anchovy. Is that really a hop? Oh, okay. This one is sure to get the people going. Jackie O's. When I think of Jackie O's, I don't think IPA at all. I recognize that they make great IPAs, but that is not even that's not even close to what I think about when I think of Jackie O's. That's funny. But yeah, I definitely will drink this. I wonder if the hops taste like anchovies. Here's another great one. The boys from Griffinclaw think they've won the Coney Wars. We'll talk about this. But us, our first two collaborations were just the first shots. Regardless of the ill will between these two great Coney destinations, the Griffinclaw crew came out and brewed a foundational, hint, hint, porter with us. We're glad they did, rounding out a truly essential component of our English-style repertoire that we don't get to see in Cincinnati very often. So, English porter. I've heard there's some bets happening, too, that may revolve around this collaboration. Julia says, from Yakima Valley, anchovy is a new experimental variety from Segal Ranch in the lower Yakima Valley. Initially, it went by the name yada-da-da, but it was given the controversial name anchovy by Matt Storm and Brian Strumke from Fast Fashion Brewing in Seattle. Fast Fashion was the first brewery to sponsor Acreage, so they have been the only folks to get the chance to brew with it so far. But now there's a very limited amount of 2024 crop year available. Fast Fashion Brewing describes the variety as watermelon hard candy, raspberry, and pine. Look, that sounds great. If Steven Seagal's ranch can make me a hop that tastes like Jolly Ranchers, raspberry, and pine, I don't even know how those three things go together, but it sounds great. Give it to me. Yes. Yes. I all right. I'm in. I'm definitely in. Give me all the anchovies. Also give me an English porter. That's definitely my wheelhouse of beer styles that I'm ordering right off the bat if I see it. Although this might be too. Yeah, this is the okay. Yeah, a dry hopped Kolsch. Okay. let me say one thing. This is a Kolsch beer should probably not be dry hopped. That's probably not what you're supposed to do to it. But with that said, it's also probably delicious. This Streetside take on Odd 13's modern interpretation of a classic style is our collaboration with the iconic Odd 13 out of Lafayette, Colorado for Streetside's 9th anniversary. Hopped aggressively with Mosaic, Hallertau Blanc, and Nelson, this crispy crusher is a lawnmower beer of your dreams. Mosaic's fine. But Hallertau, Blanc, and Nelson, like those two hops together, definitely, yep. And it says, caution, do not microwave. Product is totally not meant to be very hot. Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Again, with the beers that just touch a piece of my soul. This is Pub Ale, a pint of English-style amber ale. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Pub Ale is a classic amber brewed in the ESB style. Expect classic bitter flavors from this one, along with floral, lightly citrusy hops, toasty malts, and hints of caramel sweetness. All come together in a complex yet refreshing beer you can enjoy all day with your lads down round the local pub. 4%. Oh, man. Ryan wants to know if I'm going to Streetside's anniversary. I don't know, but probably not. I really don't get out that often. That's not fair. I get out a lot, but never the times that I want to. We'll see. We'll see. Steve says, all of these labels are transactional. Brewers are trying to sell a batch at a time rather than building brand, which would stop trying to reinvent beer for a small part of the market and instead build for the future. Just my opinion. All right. That is definitely a conversation. I agree with it partially. I see, and we're looking at one right now, this pub ale, and I know that this is not the side of beer that is going to sell. But to me, this is a huge part of what Streetside's brand should be. This is who they are. Like the English Porter. I love their English beers, and I think that they could have an incredible business if they leaned really hard into these English styles, something that not enough people here in Cincinnati are doing. The space is not English pub-like, but I think if you start to communicate what English pub culture is about, there's definitely a connection there too. I think that there is a lot of one-off, this beer is about this moment release thing that is happening and has been happening for the last, seven, eight years, somewhere around there. And that's been kind of what has driven a big chunk of the industry. And I would agree that that's also one of the reasons that the industry is struggling, because once that started to shift, people didn't know how to handle that. I would go as far as to say that this is maybe a reaction. Some of these beers, some of these light American lagers, are maybe a reaction to that. People are now leaning really hard into, people don't care about individual releases, so now we need a core beer. What's our core beer? Light American lager. There might be something to that too. Chris Mitchell, hello. Still moving through some of these. The meme Streets of Cincinnati. This has been released before, so we really won't talk too much about it. There's some other good things I want to get to. Urban Artifact Pinkberry, Prickly Pear, and Golden Raspberry. Urban Artifact's a great example of one of those breweries that just seems to lean really hard into just continued new releases. Like, here's this combination of fruit, and here's this combination of fruit, instead of going hard into some kind of core beer idea. And I know they do Gadget and things like that are core beers that are always around, but there's not a lot of it, I guess. Quinn, blueberry, grape, yeah, you know, it. They're fun, but they're not that fun to me. Speaking of Gadget, 19.2 ounces of Gadget. Why not? If you need a whole bunch of, this is like your weekly allotment of fruit in one beer. You just get all the fruit that you need for the week just in one giant can of it. So that's a lot of Gadget. Sam Adams, there's some fun stuff here from Sam Adams. Their maple bourbon barrel aged cinnamon roll breakfast bock. Oh, yeah. Okay. That sounds great. Okay. This one, though, Imperial Cream Stout Topias. I'm assuming this is their anniversary beer. Yep, there we go. Each year we gather to celebrate our Cincinnati Taproom anniversary and commemorate the occasion with a special barrel-aged brew for our 2025 brew. We're paying homage to our beloved cream stout and aging it in Utopias barrels. Yeah, that's probably great. That's probably really good. Okay. Moving on. Okay, this is another one that I really wanted to talk about. Taft's. Another Taft's, which I saw the freshest beer back on shelves, which is exciting, but Roebling Resin. This is a pale ale with spruce tips. That's a style that I love. I love spruce tips. I also love them leaning into some of the local stuff that I think maybe the brand Taft's should. It says, brewed with real spruce tips and a whole lot of hop swagger, Roebling Resin is bold, piney, and built to last just like the bridge. Sip strong Cincinnati. I like seeing them leaning into the Taft's brand and putting out beers that make sense. I was always critical maybe not as loud as I should have been sometimes about Moorline not being a craft brand. That Moorline as a brand was always about these traditional German styles. And if you want to brew a craft brand, it has to somehow find a way to live somewhere around that. And I love that they are using Taft's to kind of to let some of those things exist. I love it. I'm excited. It makes me excited. That's it. That is our label approvals. There's some good stuff there. some really exciting things. Some things that I'm cautiously optimistic about. Some things that make me appreciate who places are and how they're figuring that out. I understand the idea about beers being very transactional. I get that, Steve. I think that is a big weakness of that's a big weakness of where craft beer is. And at an hour and 23 minutes, it's probably way too late into the show to really dive into this. But I think there are some breweries who have figured out really well who they are. Not many, but there are some. There are a lot of breweries, especially some younger ones, that are still poking at things, trying to figure out who they are. And there's some that probably will never figure it out. Chris wants to know it's in the glass. This is the last call of Cthulhu from Fabled Brewworks. That is what is currently in my glass. You missed, or maybe not, because it's still sitting there next to me. We started the show off with whatever the hell this Yukon Jack snakebite is, and it is terrible, is what it is. But it's still sitting. There's still some sitting here, and I don't even want to. Oh, I don't want to do that again. Okay, let's try just to see. Oh. Yeah. Oh, it still smells like paint thinner. It's so bad. Oh, I'm not gonna drink it again. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. Oh. 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 Oh, it's so bad. Oh. Oh, it's not just boozy. It's like boozy, and then there's like this weird chemical lime thing that just that is terrible. Oh God, I'm pretty sure that little tiny bottle of booze has taken maybe 6 months off my life, maybe. Oh, that's bad. I'm gonna kill this, and I'm gonna crack open this Uptown Light, and I'm gonna taste that, and then we'll wrap things up. If anybody has any thoughts, any topics that we did not cover tonight, because we covered a lot, ground, then please shout them out, and we'll go there. In the meantime, what did we learn tonight? Okay. What did we learn tonight? We learned that Yukon Jack snakebite will take 7 months off your life. In glorious fashion, though. You'll know they're coming off. You will feel them being stripped from your soul. Julia says we didn't talk about sports ball. That's okay. I'll call you about it tomorrow. Yeah. There's a lot to talk about sports ball. Not all of it good. We learned that breweries don't know who they are, which is not news. If you've been watching, you know that there's a lot of breweries that don't know who they are. Way more that don't know who they are than do. We've learned that sometimes, in order to let your business grow the way it should grow, sometimes you have to just let it go, let somebody else take over. We've learned that sometimes when you are a beer blogger, you can't do as many things as you want to do, and sometimes you gotta shut them down. What else did we learn? We learn sometimes that if you've taken, 7 years to open your brewery, that sometimes the universe is not on your side and you have to call it quits. there's a lot of things we learned. All right, let me taste this Uptown Light. I can tell you that the fizzy head went and just went away real fast, which I don't want at all for my beer. This is the second one that I've had. Third one. I think I had two this weekend. And I didn't mind it, but I was drinking it out of the can. It's fizzy. It's a little sweet. It's definitely not my favorite light American lager. It's what I would call fine. It's a fine beer. I think it's going to do fine. I don't know. I don't even know how you're supposed to compare light American lagers. Stay tuned for that. It's just fine. It doesn't make me excited at all. I don't taste it, and I'm not like, oh, I can't wait to drink another one of those. But it's not offensive. It's not something that I'm like, oh, that's gross, and I don't want to drink another one of those. Which maybe that's the measure. Maybe that is how we judge these things. I don't even know anymore. If you want to talk about the things that we should be worried about with craft beer, or should not be worried about with craft beer, I think I think the lack of excitement about things is what we should be concerned about. Chris says, is that a still beer? It does look like it, doesn't it? No, I think there's some carbonation there. I want to defend it, but I can't. it's really not that great. I think that there is a huge opportunity for beers like this, and specifically for brands like Red Top in this city. But you gotta nail it. You gotta nail the beer. The easy thing to say is that, people that are drinking light American lager don't really care about beer, and they aren't that discerning. And maybe there's some truth to that, but at the same time, if you're going to create a beer that replaces them drinking Bud Light or Natty Light or whatever the heck they're drinking, Cincy Light. If you want to replace that, you have to be as good as that, and priced the same way. Which they've got the price down, but one of the reasons that Cincy Light has been so successful in the city is that you can walk into a bar. Just the other day, I was in a bar, I sat down. They had just gotten Cincy Light on tap, and it was $3.50 for a pint of Cincy Light. I was like, man, that's a good deal. I'm going to drink one of those. That's a good deal. So I ordered it because it was cheap. I mean, I know the beer, so I knew what I was getting into, but follow me on this analogy, this story. I got the beer because it was $3.50. The bartender put it in front of me, It was a beautiful beer. It was in a shaker pint glass, a great shaker pint glass, but had this big foamy head just kind of coming right over the top of the glass. Sat there looking at it for a while, and that head just sat there for a little while. I'm like, all right, that looks good. That still looks good. Drank it, and it was a good beer. It wasn't the best like Pilsner I've ever had in my life, but it's not supposed to be. It was a good beer. This one, maybe you could sell it to me for $3.50 a pint, but I might not order another one. I mean, I have a case of it sitting out there, so I'm going to be drinking a bunch of it. But stay tuned for further breakdown of the state of light American lager in the city of Cincinnati. I'm working on a thing that is going to take me a little while to figure out how to do it and how to make it make sense, but it's coming. We're working on it. It's one of the many things that are just filling the list of projects. Hour and a half, guys. That is way longer than the show is supposed to be. This is supposed to be a happy hour, not happy hour and a half. We'll do it next week, though, I promise. We'll be back next week to do the same thing and sit and drink and talk about the state of light American lager. I don't know what we'll talk about. Depends what happens. Chris says that a dang Coke costs $3.50 for a 20-ounce bottle. That's the way it should be. Beer should be cheaper than Coke. I appreciate all of you guys more than you know. I did hint earlier, I'm working on a fun little way for people to join the show. If you don't want to call in, you can voice FaceTime in something. I don't know. We're going to figure some cool things out for more interaction on the show. That makes it feel a little different, but, Steve says that's exactly the problem. Everybody is looking for the best beer, but just can't accept good beer. Ooh. Oh, that's open. Oh, that's a can of worms that we cannot get into. there's so much to unpack with that. The first time I think of when I first read that, I want to disagree with it, and then I want to agree with it, and then I want to disagree with it. It depends where I'm at too. We don't have time for that this episode. We're going to talk about that at some point though. Maybe next week. This needs to be a bi-weekly show. If there's a local bar or tap room that wants to sponsor this show, we can come up with a way that we can do, 2 episodes a week. We could do the weekly pint like this from the studio on Mondays. And then we could do a live version of the weekly pint where we just talk about a topic like that, and we hit that once a week. We could make that happen. Just reach out to me, go to the website and email me or something. You can probably do just gnome@thegnarlygnome.com. Send me an email. We'll make it happen. I appreciate all of you guys for hanging out with me. We will be back next week. If you like this, if you like any of the stuff that I do, go to thegnarlygnome.com/support and we'll make it happen, because all of this stuff is I'm going to say time consuming. It takes up a lot of time in the week, and that is probably the hardest thing to overcome when you are also trying to pay bills. So when you support, it helps me. Hope you get you catch the drift. Thank you for all of you who do support. I promise, I really do promise that there is some fun swag coming. It's coming. It's in the works. It's not meant to be a joke, because it is coming. But we gotta get through. We gotta get through this little period right here. I'm gonna say
it'll be spring at this point when swag boxes go out. But they're going to be good. They're going to be good swag boxes. Stay tuned. I appreciate you. If you want to have a beer, there's some cool opportunities this week. Go to Kolsch Night tomorrow. If you're free on Friday, I'll be over in Northern Kentucky at the Commonwealth Comedy Club. Show starts at 7:30. I'll be there probably before that. Hanging out, telling some stories, and watching some people try to interpret those stories. We'll see you guys. Thank you for hanging out. Sorry it went late. There was a lot to talk about. It's not my fault. I blame craft beer. I love you guys. See you guys. I'm stuck on this idea now. Everybody's looking for the best beer, but just can't accept good beer. Oh, I'm gonna write a blog post right now. I can't. I don't have time. I'm gonna drink a beer. The best beer that I have in the house. I'm gonna drink the best beer. Not a good beer, the best beer.